Yes, it is that time of the week as we get to the final weekend of the regular season. You know what we're doing a week from now?
We're in the playoffs now.
We're getting ready for the first game of the NLDS. And joining us right now to talk about it is our guy Scott France. He's sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. And I believe in the car with them as they travel down to D.C. tonight. It's another special guest. Scott, how you doing today?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Hold up, Scott. Y'all driving? I mean, what happened to the charter plane? What's going on?
Well, we never take a plane to D.C.
Oh, yeah, that makes no sense.
It's not that far.
Well, what about the train?
The team takes a train, but they went on Wednesday, and I stayed home.
Okay, I get that. So, Scott, I'm going to ask you, we're getting ready for the playoffs. So, my question to you is this, because we've been kind of kicking this
around. Is it about Nick Castellanos?
No, it's not.
Hugh still has not apologized to Castellanos, by the way.
Wait. I don't feel like I should apologize to a grown man.
Have you seen his numbers since June?
No, his numbers are phenomenal, yeah. And he's been playing well. But that's his job. That's his job.
All right, go to your question before we get into
that. That is his job. You made me forget my question now. No, you know what I want to ask you, Scott? Okay, as we get ready for the playoffs, who do you feel is the best matchup for us?
Next weekend, you're saying the first one?
Yeah, best matchup for us. Yeah.
I don't know that. I think we talked about this before. I don't really fear any of them. I think the National League is such that almost any team can make their case and have a little validity to it. A case why they could or beat the Phillies or why they would lose to the Phillies. So. Mm-hmm. And I guess I could make that same case either way. I don't know if there's a best matchup. I think the Phillies are a really good, deep, complete team, and if fully healthy, they can certainly beat anybody on the board. I don't think there's any question about that.
Scott, this weekend, it's going to be interesting to see how the Phillies and the Dodgers play it. So the Dodgers are up right now one game. We know the Phillies have the tiebreaker if they end up tied. And, there's some elements to this that are kind of interesting. We don't know how the seeding is going to go below those teams, especially with the Mets and Braves situation going on. They have to play a doubleheader Monday, potentially. But, Scott, I would just want to have the one seed if I can. I'd want to have home field advantage. But we discussed it yesterday, and there's the other side of which is, like, if you get the two seed, you could kind of send the Dodgers and Padres to their own side of the bracket. How do you think the Phillies prioritize it this weekend in the balance between rest and going for that one seed?
I don't think they're going to necessarily – I mean, their guys are going to play because I think if there's a chance – I mean, if you win tonight, and let's hope we play tonight, if you got a chance to get on the board and get pull even, I think maybe they look at it. But I don't think they're going to take, say Nolan, try to stretch him to eight innings or Wheeler, go 110 pitches just because they feel like they got to win a game. But I think the big thing was getting the bye and getting that rest and being able to line things up the way they wanted to and not have to worry about the uncertainty of a quick three-game set. And beyond that, I think they just – I get your point, and, our special guest here and I were talking about it on the drive down, but – and maybe you do want to send the Dodgers and the Padres over to their side of the bracket and let them battle it out. But at the same time, you got to go through one of them, if not, at some point. So get them and get it done, I do think they'd love to have home field as many times as they can. So they really believe in that.
Well, they should. They're 54-27 home. So the special guest, do you have T-Mac in the car with you, Scott?
I do.
I am.
Hey, T-Mac. Hugh T-Mac's with him.
I hear him. Haven't seen him in a while. He's been dodging.
T-Mac is actually the wheel man here.
Oh, he's driving. You trust him to drive?
Oh, yeah.
you trust T-Mac to drive, though?
Oh, yeah.
Is he 10 and 2?
Yeah, 10 and 2.
10 and 2. Is he 10 and 2?
Right now, I'm at 2 and 9.
That's good enough. Yeah, no worries on that. All right, Scott, as we move forward into this weekend, one thing that's changed this week a little bit is the return of Austin Hayes. I was at the game on, I guess it was Tuesday night, and I thought he made a few good plays in the outfield, including throws from the outfield. Scott, what do you anticipate, let's say, next Saturday? And we don't know the matchup. It's going to be lefty or righty pitchers, but Is Austin Hayes a platoon guy with Marsh? Has he worked his way back into being the left fielder? Because he missed so much time. What do you think about that aspect of the roster?
I think it's still an open question. I think it still depends maybe what they see this weekend. On the plus side, Hayes is running around pretty good. He's feeling strong. But again, he hasn't hit a whole lot. So I think they want to see him get as many at-bats as possible. I don't know what you think, Tom. I think it's probably still an open-ended question.
I definitely think it is. I think it's more likely that you'll see Marsh against left-handed pitching. It's not going to matter, for Rob, but I think it's Rojas that may be in question whether he starts in center field. But, I think Rob's kind of left it to for us to, wait a few days before he decides what he's going to do.
Yeah, we probably won't know until he puts a lineup out for game one or game two and we see if Hayes in there. I still like Hayes. I know it hasn't been the smoothest time here with the injuries and obviously being ill, but I think he can help this team a lot. All right, so let's look forward to the roster, what it could look like by the time we talk next week, Scott, in terms of who's on it. Do you have a sense of the amount of pitchers versus hitters they're going to put?
Must have read my mind.
It just feels like they have more good options for hitters, for bench guys, for potential pinch hitters late in games, lefty-righty stuff, compared to having to have an extra guy in the bullpen. Where do you come down on that, Scott? What do you think they might do numbers-wise for next weekend?
I think there's a good chance they go with one fewer pitcher than last year, especially in the first round when it's only five games. I mean, the way Rob has talked about it, it's definitely something they're looking at. I just think the idea that they have more bench options to make moves, if you do want to hit for Rojas or something like that early in a game, I think it gives them that idea that, maybe we just go with one fewer pitcher since it's a five-game series. I think it's something they're really considering. I don't think they would have considered it at all last year because I think they needed the pitching and they didn't have as many options or that they felt good about offensively. But I think they have more options they feel good about now.
All right, guys, let's end with maybe the biggest question people have on their mind as we look forward to
where John Kruk is.
Yes. Is he in the trunk? Where did you keep him?
No, he actually drove on his own. We were a little worried. We're not so sure where he might be. T-Mac's got him on air tags, but we can't find him anywhere.
He got an air tag. That's funny.
He left at like 6 a.m. So because he was told it was a six-hour drive. So
who told him that?
Who knows who told him that, but somebody told him that.
Yeah, we got to set the odds on if he's going to be there for the first pitch of the game. I'm not sure about this year. What do you think? Do you think he makes it?
No, I think he makes it. That's just about it. Me and Kruk about on the same time because I thought they needed to take a plane. So, I feel kind of bad about that.
Yeah, you guys should travel together. Scott, next weekend, game two next Sunday, Nola or Sanchez? It feels like it's going to be one of the bigger things that they have to decide on. They're going to pitch two and three. It's a matter of what the order is. And what makes it so interesting is Sanchez has been so much better at home than the road. Nola, I think, could pitch in any environment. Scott, but the other side is that Nola's Nola, right? He's done this for years as their number two guy. Is that just his game? Where do you come down on that?
I mean, there's a lot of talk. And I think some of the things Rob has said publicly this week kind of lead us to believe we were talking about the same thing a little while ago that they're probably still thinking Nola too. I think the idea that if you feel like he's your number two, Wheels is your number one and he's your number two, then you throw him out there 1-2. They just go the first two games and you just roll with that. And I think what Sanchez did in New York last time out in New York. I know he walked five, but he gave up the two runs right away and he settled down, I know he walked guys, but that was not a I'm scared kind of thing. That was a I can't find my changeup thing. And I think they feel like whatever nerves he might have had in years past or not being able to slow the game down in years past, they think he's grown up past that. But I happen to think game two, you're going to see Nola at CBP, in the division series. But that's just my guess.
Yeah, we'll find out. And I think that's probably the likely one. We shall see. Scott and T-Mac, we appreciate you guys hopping on. Safe drive, and we hope you guys find Kruk before first pitch tonight.
Yeah, good luck with that.
We're going to try.
Take care, guys. Yeah, we'll talk next week, Scott. Thank you. There we go. Scott Fransky with T-Mac on the ride. Not the plane, but the ride down.
Yeah, I'd screw that one up. Because I forgot where they were going, and that was the first thing. I'm like, why are you driving?
Yeah, you would think I'm guessing most trips they take is in a plane. But no, they're driving. That was fun talking about those guys. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll rev all the Eagles stuff back up next. Your phone calls here. Do you expect to win? I do. Hugh, we're worried about those injuries here. We called him Doc Douglas with a scheduled loss take earlier in the show. And Hassan Reddick, the Jets reporter for ESPN New York, Rich Cimini, said, well, Bernie told him Hassan wouldn't mind coming back. Well, how about this? Huff to the Jets, Reddick to the Eagles. Simple, easy, make the trade. I say yes, Hugh says no, and Saquon Barkley. Should they be considering and thinking about how many touches he's had already when they make the game plan for this week? Everyone's annoyed at me for this one. But yes, I'm thinking about that. I want to keep him healthy through the season. Welcome back, Midday Show. Yeah. Is that what we're doing here today? We're Kung Fu fighting?
It's kind of a banger.
Yeah, it is.
Not a banger.
I think we need this more on the show, if I'm being honest. All right, a lot to discuss here with the Eagles. Are you expecting a win despite the injuries on Sunday? We don't have official designation, but it is leading towards no AJ, no Lane, no Devontae. Are expecting a victory. And a lot of debate earlier. We got the news report, whatever you call it. Rich Cimini covers Jets up in New York that he heard that Hassan Reddick wouldn't
little
mind.
Birdie.
Little birdie told him Hassan wouldn't mind coming back. So how about the idea of trading Huff to the Jets? He worked there. He doesn't work here. Trading Reddick back here. He doesn't want to play there anymore. He wants to come back here. Let's do it. I'm in. Hugh's not. And should the Eagles be careful with Saquon's usage? Let's get into all the conversation here. 215-592-9494. OG Wade is up, as I know he's looking forward to hopefully a big game out of Jalen on Sunday. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, OG. What are you feeling?
I'm feeling strong about this game. It's actually going to prove my point that you don't need a top 10 receiver to win in this league. I think that when receivers such as these prima donna receivers that, you know, we often see in this league, it put pressure on the quarterback to have to get the guy this many touches. I think this game will be a lot more comfortable for Jalen because there's no one out there that will stop eating and clap his hands if he don't get enough targets. You know what I'm saying? We'll be able to just...
Yeah, Wade, you're breaking up. So that's okay. We got his point. Wade, we appreciate the call. You're breaking up. I couldn't tell if it was my headset, but then I looked at you guys and like no one could hear.
Let's hope Hurts doesn't choke as badly as OG Wade's phone.
No, that's strong.
Here is what I think it's interesting. If I could have a top 10 receiver or not, I'll take the top 10 receiver. But I do think sometimes that what he's saying checks out to where the quarterback could just throw it to who's ever open, not have to concentrate. I have to get this guy targets. An example, we brought him up a lot yesterday when we were discussing Jalen. Josh Allen, it seems like he's distributing the ball more to everyone without having to force it to Stephon Diggs. I don't know if you caught what he said after the game last Sunday or Monday night when they blew out the Jaguars. He said, and I'm paraphrasing him, but he said something like, it's nice to have a bunch of guys that just want to win and not worried about their numbers. And
yeah, he took a little bit inadvertent shot.
He didn't say Diggs' name, but like he has kind of no-name receivers now, young receivers.
Yeah, but he's grown a lot as a quarterback. Yep. Not saying that Jalen hasn't, but history has shown that Jalen plays better when AJ's on the field and Devontae. Now, this weekend, to OG Wade's point, this is a big test for Jalen. And it's compounded by the fact that you had to go against your nemesis, big brother, in this situation. And what I talked about, how Coach Bowles has done a tremendous job of negating the weapons that you've had in the past. So, and to be fair, AJ wasn't on the field in the playoffs, so that was something. But now that concerns me even more with the weather being what it is. We got Saquon. There's going to be some opportunities to run the ball, but how effective is it going to be with that weather being what potentially it is? So that has me concerned a little bit.
And this feels like a game to me where Jalen's going to have to run the football. Like he did it against the Falcons because he didn't have his full complement out there. If I'm him, Hugh, and I got Jahan Dotson, I have Paris Campbell, do I trust those guys? Or do I say,
that's the thing, Joe.
Or do I say I'll just tuck it and run for 10?
And that's the thing. Are they going to fight for the football? Because we know Big Batman and Skinny Batman, they somewhat fight for the football. So that's something that you have to think about.
Of course. And you don't want to throw a pick, so you might see him run the football more. Let's go to George in the Northeast. Hey, George.
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 Yeah, guys.
Hey, George.
What's up,
George?
I mean, come on.
My bad. Listen, I'm going to make a point, then I want to see if you guys allow me to do a shout out right at the end before you guys switch over.
Go ahead, George. Go ahead.
What you got, dog?
Yeah, so the whole thing about, you know, Bryce Huff, I agree with you 100%. A lot of people just don't realize, especially Eagles fans, you know, we want things like right off the bat. We want to see production right off the bat. But we already knew coming into the season that this was a high-risk, high-reward type of player coming in. We knew that he was going to have to sit here and you know, be given the chance to ascend. But when you sit here and you let's compare to Hassan Reddick, Bryce Huff didn't start a game. His stats almost aligned with Hassan Reddick's stats from last year. Sacks, quarterback hurries, quarterback hits, quarterback pressures. I mean, and he didn't even start one game. So to sit here and not give a player time to become what we're expecting him to become, not Hassan Reddick, but to become Bryce Huff, you know, we're kind of sitting here putting too much, you know, emphasis on, oh, he's not doing anything, rather than allowing him to sit here and progress.
Yeah, but you know, the unfortunate thing about what you're saying, and you're right, but this is the NFL, and fans are rabid, and we don't have the luxury of seeing it that way. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's right. It is what it is. He has to step up this week, though, because this is going to get worse. This is going to get worse before it gets better.
So, George, I understand your point, and I agree with you. And if there's no other option, then we got to give him a chance and got to cross our fingers and hope. But if the Jets called tomorrow and they said, we'll take him back and you want Reddick back, you'd say no?
Absolutely, because the money, I would say no, because the money that Hassan Reddick, just let's just, you know, think that we know how much money he wants, right? But if we're making the implication of how much money, or assumption of how much money he wants, we can go get Max Crosby. We can go get somebody who's going to fill that edge, another player from another team that team really isn't going anywhere. And maybe that player is sitting here saying, you know what, I got this contract just now. My team is not really going to go anywhere for the next couple years. Do I want to sit here and play for a contender, or kind of waste away like some other players in the league have done with other teams when they sit here and they just give them, you know, the I'll stay here forever, you know, my life is here, my heart is here, whatever the case may be. So, no, I wouldn't take Hassan Reddick back at all, no.
Yeah, well, George, I mean, a lot of, some people are with you. I would go the other way. George, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, he threw out Max Crosby's name. Sure, please give me Max Crosby. I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, over the next month, is there any player they could get that's better than Hassan Reddick to help them rush the quarterback?
No, not right now. And that's what you're talking about.
Probably
you're talking
not.
About the availability,
well,
and the fact that we've worked together
right.
for a while.
That's so, what makes this so unique. It's like you know he could play here. You know he's been comfortable here. He's ascended here. He's, you know, he's been great here. And it works for the other side, too. I mean, the part of the Rich Domini thing that we played earlier, it's like the Jets miss Huff.
Yeah,
it's both sides are missing the one that they gave away. It even though it is, it does feel almost in a sense like ridiculous that they would make this trade.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, it's like it does make some sense. They each worked in the other place, and everyone for a while was happy.
And everybody would be happy if you just take it back to what it was.
Yeah.
But here's the one thing that I think you're missing, Joe, is that thing called pride. And nobody wants to be wrong.
Yeah, I checked that's that at
big,
the door.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about the Jets and the way that they've handled this. The Jets have had moves, and I would say probably the last 5 or 6 years, that people have deemed idiotic.
Five or six? How about 50?
Okay, I'm just saying. I was just trying to be, you know. They've done some bonehead stuff. I think, if I'm not mistaken, especially this regime.
Yeah.
This is the first time that they kind of botched the whole Aaron Rodgers thing initially.
Well, and they drafted Zach Wilson with the second pick in the draft.
They've done a lot of bonehead things. So this is along the lines of more bonehead things. So they got to at least get a win at some point.
But
so
are they winning right
hard.
Now?
Well, they're going to play hardball. Like, for them, because they got the checkbook, They're looking at it like, we're going to make Hassan Reddick pay. Because if you give him what he wants, they win. And even if Hassan Reddick does want to come back to the Eagles, then you're basically saying now on the flip side of that, the Eagles are saying we made a mistake by getting Bryce Huff. And I know Howie well enough to know that he ain't ready to eat that turd. He ain't about to do that.
I don't know about that.
Like, I don't think so.
Howie eats a lot of turds. I mean, he does. The trading for A.J. Brown was basically eating the Jalen Reagor turd. Like, he ate the turd of not being able to draft a wide receiver for years here. And then he finally bit the bullet and made the trade for A.J. Brown.
All that matters is the end result. I mean, I don't know if Howie, when he was younger, would have been able to do that. I think he's realized this as he becomes deeper into his tenure, which has been a long time now, that all we care about is the end result. So, like, I mean, speaking about eating turds, they drafted a fireman in the first round. They drafted Danny Watkins in the first round.
I remember that.
They got Jason Kelsey in the sixth round of
the draft. Mailata and Dillard. Yeah. Mailata starting over Dillard. That's a turd that he ate. Like, how he's eaten so many.
We should rank the turds.
I'm looking at that as more as like hedging your bets when you talk about guys.
Okay,
well, right. But at the end of the day, he ate the turd of getting rid of Dillard and letting Mailata play. Like, by the way, like, if this ends up happening, Huff or Reddick, nobody looks dumber than the Jets. Howie escapes the turd eating because the Jets will have eaten a mound of poop, dude.
At some point, we'd have to rank who are the dumbest people coming out of this.
It's the Jets.
Yeah, it's always when in doubt, the Jets are dumb. I mean, that's the bottom
line. Like when they drafted that guy from Central State.
In the first round.
Yeah, that was probably one of the best things they ever done in their career.
They don't know who he is.
Let's go to Terry in Maryland. What's up, Terry?
I'll hear a turd talk going on over here.
Yeah, well, we had to bring you on to settle things down. Terry, can you tell Hugh how plant-based he is today? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, being a little too plant-based, man. You need to relax. Take a gummy before that game starts, man.
Wait a minute. How am I being plant-based, though, by being logical in my assessment of this situation?
But you don't understand. Being logical is being plant-based.
Okay, we don't do that here.
Okay, fine.
Check logic at the door. Go ahead, Terry.
Let the game come to the fellas. They're going to take care of business. It's one man for himself. Let him take care of it out there. They know what to do.
Darn right, Terry. Tell him. I mean, like,
Terry, is that it?
They know what to do. They're going down there to get a victory.
Okay, well, Terry, let me ask you this question since they know what to do. What happened when they played the Falcons? They forgot?
They didn't know that night.
They didn't know?
Yeah,
okay, gotcha.
Let's throw that one out the window. I don't want to hear about that anymore.
My bad. I won't talk about that one anymore.
We highlight the wins. No. We flush the losses.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, Terry. Yeah. They had to get upset in order to go out there and play well against the Saints. They had to feel disrespected. That doesn't bother you a little bit? Like, not even in the least?
No, it does. You know, it does. They should. You know, and that guy got fined for what he did to Devontae. He deserved it.
That was the one that came in late, though. That wasn't the initial hit. That was the late hit.
No, but, you know, what they were doing to him, they were pushing their buttons a little too much, and, you know, you've seen what happened.
I get it.
So you expect to win on a Sunday, Terry?
Yeah, I do. And on the Reddick thing, you know what? I would definitely take him if we have to get him. You know, it doesn't look very... very promising on that pass rush right now.
It does not. No, it's been poor. I mean, Terry, we appreciate the phone call. I would love to have the phone bugged when if Howie calls Joe Douglas. Who do you think if this actually happens? Who do you think would initiate the conversation? Is it Howie texting Joe? Is it Joe sending the message to Howie? Like, who's the one that's like, hey, what if we just swapped them back?
Who's sending the message? Man. I would probably say Howie.
I agree with you.
If we're doing that scenario, I would say Howie. Joe's not calling.
Yeah, I think it's Howie. Hey, Joe.
It's because it's a bigger turd for Joe to eat. Like, Howie comes out looking better.
It's a pride thing. So, yeah, I think. I hear what you're saying when you're talking about the turd eating.
I could see Howie sending, like, almost like a half-kidding text message.
Hey,
like,
hey, what you doing?
Like, hey, what if we just swapped him back? Ha ha. Yeah, like maybe an emoji, maybe not. But, like, he throws it in there and then just see where it goes.
An eyes emoji.
Yeah, an eyes emoji. And he sees... Does Joe leave him on red? Does he respond right away?
He just sends K.
What if Hassan Reddick, when he comes back, he says, before I come back, I need you to apologize to me publicly. Like, I'm sorry.
Then we do it.
I'll do it for him.
Okay.
As a station, we'll all apologize to Reddick to get him back. Are you participating, Hugh?
No.
We're trying to win.
Not apologizing. What I'm apologizing to Reddick for? For leaving? For wanting his money? No.
We're just trying to get him.
We just want to be happy. That's it, right?
We just want to win football games.
resistance.
Yes, yeah, simple, easy, least you know resistance.
You know what I need Coach Fangio to do? Coach the young fella up, man. Coach Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff up. Coach him up. Do me that favor.
Or you get or a better just, player and yeah, you say, but, just put him out there.
But you want to be honest? You know what that sounds like? Something that probably Coach Fangio would want to do? That's probably what he would do. Go get me the guy that I don't have to really coach and I can just skate my wing and go into retirement whenever I get ready to
Absolutely.
Go.
I mean, golden parachute to retirement and more sacks for the Eagles.
That's what it kind of feels like.
I'm fine with that.
It's starting to feel like that a little bit, though. The way he's handling Huff and the fact that he moved back home to be close to his family, I'm starting to look at Coach Fangio a little different, man. I'm serious.
I'm
just saying. I'm looking at him a little different now. I mean, he don't want to really coach nobody. He just want to, you know, put the old heads out there and not use this young Thundercat to do his thing.
Is it the – what's the resort in Seinfeld called?
Del Boca Vista.
Yeah, the book Del Boca Vista.
Wear white shoes and move down to Del Boca Vista.
We are
Vic Fangio's Del Boca Vista right now.
Nick and Trenton. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Not much. So a couple of things. I'm headed to the game on Sunday, flying out tomorrow. But it reminds me of an interesting game that I've played. There's a lot of similarities. I played fullback at Penn. Mm-hmm. And we had a game where we had to go up to Harvard, and we were missing our two leading receivers, and we were missing our left tackle. And the strategy that we, you know, used to win the game basically was just run the ball. We just ran the ball like crazy. I think our running back had like 25, 30 touches the game. And I know it's a lot for Saquon.
Yeah,
you know,
Joe don't want to do that. Joe worried about it.
30?
I know.
Joe worried about it.
I know that he doesn't want to hear that, but I'm just saying sometimes, you know, you have these games, you got the weather, you know, it's going to be raining. I think that, you know, we run the ball on them, you know, throw the ball in the right spots, get that, you know, Goddard involved. I think that that's the key. And then just let the defense go to work, you know, let the guys on the inside.
That sounds like a sound strategy to me, but Joe don't want to do that.
Well, I'm just trying to keep the guy healthy throughout the season. So, Nick, you were a fullback at Penn?
That's right. Yeah.
So were you like more of like a John Ritchie fullback, a Lorenzo Neal, Larry Centers?
I was a John Ritchie type of fullback.
This is really. You say you went to UPenn. Did you know Coach Steve Downs?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, that was me and Steve played together at Central State.
Oh, okay. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I played with Justin Watson now, who's on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
He was out back. You know, he was one of the two guys that was out that particular game, but. Yeah, so we ended up winning the game, and it was a close one. You know, we just controlled the clock, and I think that, you know, you employ the same kind of strategy this game. I feel like it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I think we'll come out on top. And well, I'm going to be there, so we got to win.
Well, safe flight, Nick, and hopefully they get the win for you, Nick. We appreciate the phone call. Appreciate
it. That's
listening.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, well, now I'm – see, you guys got me a little bit here.
What we got?
Well, because you got not only another football guy, right? Nick's a football guy, former fullback. Hugh's on this. I don't know if Kyle's a football guy.
He
went to Penn. Now I'm arguing with someone smarter, like smart.
Yeah, so when smart, he said smart. That, it validated everything that he was talking about.
Yeah.
So I get that.
I'm still disagreeing, but it's harder to disagree when we get the Penn people. I mean, how many Ivy Leaguers we're going to get to call? Then you're just throwing them at me now.
That's awesome. Like,
it feels as simple to me as that's the best path for them to win this game.
This game, I never said you're wrong. I'm trying to think big picture on this.
What if they give him Joe? What if they give him 20 instead of 30 touches?
Well, yeah, that's
really that big of a difference.
Yes.
No.
It's 50% more.
It's really not. Like in the grand scheme of things, 10 touches over the course of a season is nothing.
No, I know, but haven't you realized what we're doing? We're doing this every week because we're living in every week by itself. And then if you don't, it's almost like this, right? I got a dumb analogy for you, okay? Let's say you're trying to eat healthy or someone said, yeah, you probably should cut back a little bit.
That doesn't compute.
Okay, well, not you, okay? And you say, what's one donut today? And you're just living in today. And you wake up tomorrow, you're like, what's one donut today? Mm-hmm. Living in today. You wake up 30 days from now, you've had 30 donuts. And you've probably not lost any weight.
I do that a lot.
I know, but you're not.
I think
most people can relate to that. Like, if you don't take a big picture look at things, you could get off track really fast.
Well, I understand that. But we're also, like, there's another element to this. Like, you can set yourself up so that you don't have to do this again later in the season. Like, the more you use
Saquon.
So you want
to win now to rest later.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, if they do this with Saquon, teams are going to look at the Eagles and be like, man, they are going to feed this dude. Let's bring our safeties down, or let's bring an extra guy into the box And then you have Devontae Smith. You have A.J. Brown. It just, like, that opens so many more things up for this offense. So I'm not saying they have to give him 30 touches a game necessarily, but I really don't see a big difference between 30 touches in this game and, like, 20.
Well, it's 10.
Right. But over the course of a season, that 10, it shouldn't kill him. And if it does, then, like, he was bound to get injured anyway.
215-592-9494. Let's get to a little Q&A here on a Friday.
Yes.
Get to know the Midday Show.
Yes.
What? Yes.
This is Q&A on 94WIP.
Being a little bit premature in my assessments today. But, yes, this is sponsored by the Jug Handle Inn. Award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the Jug.
I wonder if they have pumpkin wings out. It's that time of year.
No, it's about that time. Yeah. They probably do.
Yeah, we're getting
there. They probably do. They got some good wings.
All right, so here's my question for Hugh and I this week. So what are the challenges, and did you feel like when you look back you did well or you struggled with wet fields in the rain? We're probably going to have a soggy field in Tampa, humid, muggy. They obviously have a lot of real weather issues right now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably be cleared out for the most part, but the field's probably going to be all wet. And was it difficult? What was it like for you as a pass rusher in the rain and wet?
I never liked playing in the rain because they never threw the ball as much. And the opportunities to rush the passer weren't as abundant as they would be in fair weather or good weather, I should say. You'd never get a chance to do that. So I used to hate playing in the rain because you knew going into the game that they weren't going to throw the ball as much. They're not going to put the ball in harm's way like they normally would. So going into this game, knowing the fact that this team has given up a lot of sacks, that might not be the case this week. You know, you're talking about 4-sack game, 7-sack game, things of that nature. Weather being inclement, that's why when I came in this morning and I was thinking about this game and how it would potentially be, that was one of the things that I was thinking about. This is going to be a slog. And if the weather is rainy and the field, I'm pretty sure the field is covered now. But as the game progresses, it's going to pick up a lot of water. So it could get ugly towards the end. But, yeah, to answer your question, never like playing in the rain.
This the way you framed it and probably how the Bucs will handle it, we were talking about the Eagles maybe run the ball a lot. This does feel like it could be a 17-14 game,
yes.
19-17.
Yes. And this is where I understand that Jalen is excelling as a quarterback, but, man, that weather plays a huge factor in everything. And we've shown over the last couple of weeks with the running back that we have, when the game start, we like to throw the rock for whatever reason.
Well, they were in a dome last week. Maybe that was part of it.
Yeah, maybe. But even in the first game, we start out the game. Well, I take that one back.
They did
because
try
the first
run.
Game, they did try to feed him the rock, and he slipped and fell. Yeah, he slipped and fell. So, you know, but I think this is going to be one of those ones, man, where, like you said, it's going to be a low-scoring game, and there's not going to be that many pass-rushing opportunities.
Yeah, win ugly. I'm okay with win ugly.
You came into this with the idea that this was a farewell tour. Are you still in that mindset, or are you thinking you might have another one in you?
Well, let's get through this one first. And then I said, either way, I'm going to be a part of whatever they're doing next year. But you know, it's – as a player, who knows? But I know for me, I just want to stay ready anyway as far as, you know, just being in shape. But I might stay ready another year depending on how everything goes this year.
Who knows? Maybe. The voice of Brandon Graham. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Yeah, we all thought this was Brandon Graham's last year, and it probably still is. But He was playing well. And, I mean, when the season ends, they may come to him and say, we still need you.
Maybe. I would be surprised. I mean, he is playing well, man. But, man. That would be a phenomenal feat for Brandon. What, 16 years? 15?
So he was drafted in 2010. This is 15. Yeah,
15, 16. Yeah, that would be a phenomenal feat, though.
He also, if he does, I mean, either way, just the rest of this year or beyond, he's going to put that games played because he's the most games played ever in Eagles history. Like, he's going to.
You're going to put that out of reach.
It is. I mean, really. I mean, it's very hard to play that long with the same team in the NFL, stay healthy enough, play all those games. So, I mean, he's been really good, and they've needed him so far this season. I want to correct one thing I said before the break, because I think I misread or just maybe saw the wrong thing. I saw something that said A.J. and Devontae weren't doing much, but we're seeing more video from practice, Kyle. It looks like A.J. is on the field with a helmet, so maybe limited participation we'll see. And so is Lane Johnson.
Fake news, Giglio.
Yes, that's what they call me, yes. Misread, can't read, Giglio, one of those.
I guess, you know, Schefter said earlier in the week he's going to test out the hammy AJ. Before
yeah,
the game.
But isn't Lane and Concussion protocol?
So with the protocol, as long as you're kind of checking boxes, you can participate without contact.
Okay.
So I don't know what stage he's in right now.
Zach Berman said he is one step away from full clearance.
But he's not at full
clearance. But not at full clearance.
Yeah, so
step away.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess like there's like what, like five stages of the protocol, yeah, I think, uh-huh. I saw. So he's in stage like four, I guess. Yeah.
Let's hope we get to five by Sunday. And if not, he can't. I mean, it's one of those things. It's not a how do you feel Sunday. You have to check the boxes. However it works, you have to get to all those things. Then you are allowed or you're not. It's like it's very black and white.
I also will say this isn't like past years where we're like, oh, crap, Jack Driscoll's in, we're screwed. Fred Johnson did a nice job.
I know. He did a really good job.
I mean,
job.
That's not as a big concern, a big of concern for me. As it is the receivers, so yeah, I get it, but I just find it like when I hear the protocol, I don't understand the protocols in the protocol.
All right, so here are the five protocols. I got them right here. The first one is symptom limited activity. The players prescribe rest, limited movement, just kind of lay down, right? And the second one, stage two, is aerobic exercise. I guess you could ride a bike, you could jog, yeah. Whatever, right? Phase three is football-specific exercise. So I guess you could do football drills off to the side, but no contact. The fourth one, which Kyle said, that's where Lane is right now, stage four, is club-based non-contact training drills. So I'm guessing, Hugh, because today's a walkthrough,
mm-hmm.
He'll be out there, no contact. The fifth stage is when they clear him for contact. Obviously, that's the most important one.
Yeah.
So he has not been cleared for contact, but he's able to be out there and kind of go a walkthrough. So we'll keep you up to date on what they're doing in practice. Rick in Princeton. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. I got to go with you with the Huff and Reddick thing. And I am expecting a Eagles win this weekend.
All right. So how come – why are you with you on this? You believe in Huff or you don't want to deal with the Reddick thing back here again?
I want to believe in Huff, and I think it's Fangio's job to make him a better player. Coaches have two responsibilities. Make the humans out there, the players out there, the best they can be on and off the field and put them in a place to succeed. X's and O's are kind of secondary. You know, you got the whole team, the whole staff can do that. But you have to put this guy in a place where he can be feel good about himself and succeed.
Well, that is true. I mean, it is. And the best coaches can get the most out of players, Rick. I agree with that. But sometimes, and I'm not there yet with Huff that he can't transition to this. Sometimes there's good fits for players and there's not as good fits. You know what I mean? Like scheme-wise. And
yeah.
And we can blame the coaches. But, you know, we've seen this before where a guy plays well in one spot and then he goes somewhere else. He doesn't play well. And then he gets back to a similar spot to the first one. And he goes back to being good. I don't know why Huff is not played well yet. Maybe it is Fangio. I just wonder maybe it's the scheme as well, not his scheme.
It could be, but and then at that point, I mean, we I think we agree that he does have ability. So why not put him in a different position, like he was saying earlier?
Well, we gotta get this clip of Hugh to Vic Fangio. That's what I need. I need Fangio to hear this, Rick.
Yeah, I think. Well, Hugh, do you have a headset? Can you get your shoes and get on the sideline there?
Oh no, I'm not doing that.
That's
not my skill set. I've been in situations where I've seen this and coaches with his skill set, back in the day, you put pass rushers in position to be successful. I remember Jason Taylor when he was with the Miami Dolphins. Jason lined up everywhere on the ball. He lined up at linebacker sometime, middle linebacker, and he just rushed the passer. That's easy to do. Like, hell, if that's all he is, make him the spinner, make him the joker in the defense and just let him rush wherever.
Isn't that kind of what Reddick was doing there for a little bit?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's just you just put him out there and go get him.
Go get him. Rick, man, we appreciate the phone call. You know what? I like this call. Look at this on the board. Rico in Philly, the topic, with all due respect, Hugh. Hey, Rico.
Here we go.
What's hey, up, Rico? What's going on, fellas?
What's hey, up, Rico. What's up, pal?
Hey, I'm good, man. Listen, Hugh, man.
I'm listening, Rico.
With all due respect,
what you got, man?
I need you to stop with that soft stuff, man.
What am I doing that soft, Rico?
Everything.
I don't understand. What am I doing, Hugh, that soft?
Everything. First of all, we're not losing this game Sunday. That's one. And secondly, you talking Bryce Huff needs to be coached up to do this, coached up to do that. We paid the man $51 million to do one thing. Go get the quarterback. At the end of the day, a dog is a dog. You put a steak in front of a dog, ain't nobody stopping from getting that steak.
Rico, with all due respect, since we started off that way, that's not how it works. Bryce Huff was a situational player, right? We brought him, we gave him $51 million to come down here and be an every down player.
Correct.
And Vic Fangio said in the meetings, he said at press conferences that he's learning. It's his job to teach him because he hasn't done it. Like, so what is everybody missing here? He's not, instead of him coaching him up, you know what he does? He pulls him off the field and puts somebody else in instead of coaching him up every week and trying to get him to play better. Now, I will say this. He played better in the small sampling size that I saw from him last week.
Very small.
But when the rubber hit the road, right. Joe, when the rubber hit the road, he pulled him off the field.
He's trying to win the game.
Yeah, but that's coach, guess what? You know who would have helped you out to win the game if you would have let him play? Bryce Huff? Like, I just feel like this, man. Like,
no,
when I think
you got to prove it.
No, but listen, I hear what you're saying because he said that. But as a coach, a good coach, if you have a skill set or somebody that has talent, you're going to find a way to play. I always like to talk about Cameron Wake when I talk about Bryce Huff and his ability. You know what Cameron Wake started playing football at? In Canada. He was a Canadian football player because he wasn't good enough to play here in the NFL until he got coached up. Then he came there and became a beast in Miami.
He did. We appreciate the call, Rico.